We're in Psalm 16, 1 to 11, God's deliverance from an untimely death. The concern over facing an untimely death affects many people today. Many fear a potential great loss of life with Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russian troops bore down on Ukraine's capital Friday, and fears of wider war in Europe triggered new international efforts to make Moscow stop amid reports of hundreds of casualties. The editorial Justice for Tragic Families reported on the $73 million Remington Arms Company's insurance companies agreed to pay to families of 9 of the 26 victims of the December 14, 2012 mass shooting at Newtown's Sandy Hook Elementary School. The editor alluded to numerous misjudgments by Remington and family, friends, educators, and professionals who could have turned the killer in a different direction while there was still time. One wonders that if so many people so greatly misjudged the killer to where he committed such an awful crime, could a similar event occur again, affecting the welfare of even people that we know? Bridget Ruthman wrote a story, Inmate Cites Virus Stress, and told how Scott Blass, who was convicted of manslaughter for a fatal hit-and-run crash in Torrington when he was intoxicated and had been smoking crack cocaine, is asking a judge to release him early because of the stress he's endured in prison during the COVID-19 pandemic. However, County State's Attorney Don M. Gallo told Judge Chris Pelosi there's no good reason or no good cause for early release, since Blass has failed to, at previous attempts, to remain drug-free outside of prison walls. The family of the man you killed has missed him for the past 15 years, she told Mr. Blass. You took a life and you ran. One can only wonder if this inmate is released, will he similarly kill someone we know? Then another story by Bridget Ruthman, woman's remains identified, told of the identification of the skeletal remains discovered 2 months ago in an area of town thick with similar findings over the years, that the remains have been identified as that of a young woman, age 19. The body was found along the Harwinton-Northfield town line near Campville Road. That's less than 10 miles from my home. In fact, by the way, the crow flies, it's 6 miles. So the regular dumping of bodies over time so close to my home leaves me wondering about the safety of people in our area of the state. So we ask, what should we do about a concern over an untimely death in today's world? I'd like to read Psalm 16 and then address this question. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extends not to thee. In other words, I find no good besides you. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight, their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after other gods. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take upon them the names unto my lips of these gods. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my inherited lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord, who has given me counsel. My kidneys also instruct me in the night watches, and we'll define what that means in the sermon. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in Hades, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Though Psalm 16 was applied by the apostles Peter in Acts chapter 2, verses 25 to 28, and Paul in Acts chapter 13, verses 35 to 37, to refer to Christ's deliverance out of death by his resurrection, Psalm 16 initially referred to David's call for God to preserve him from experiencing an untimely death. So the application is different. For Jesus, it was getting him rescued out of death by way of resurrection. For David, it was keeping him from an early death in the first place. Now, thus in Psalm chapter 16, 1 to 8, David explained why he expected God to deliver him from an untimely death. David asked God to preserve him from an untimely death because he sought refuge in the Lord. That's very, very important. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. It's very important to make sure that we are looking to the Lord as our refuge. Now, the basis for this request was David's commitment to the Lord as his only God. One of the requirements for Jews living in the day of David was especially the requirement to avoid false gods. There are several of the commands in the Ten Commandments had to do with avoiding false gods and idolatry. And so David camps on this. David told the Lord that God was his master, his Adonai. We would get the word Lord or ruler. That he had no good entity besides God. That's very important. David didn't view that the goodness in life that he enjoyed came from things that were around him or the food he ate or even people around him. The only good entity that he had was God, because he recognized everything that he had that was good came from the hand of God. So David viewed God as really only good. And that's a place where God wants everybody to get. Now, as a result of this devotion to God and his dependence upon the Lord, those with whom David had fellowship were other godly people, naturally, not those who were idolatrous. You can almost always tell what a person's relationship is like with whom he relates, as with people. If he relates with people who are genuinely godly, that person really loves the Lord. If he doesn't, he doesn't really love the Lord. He's comfortable with others rather than with the Lord. Now, God's allotted inheritance for David was thus secure, it was pleasant, it was beautiful and restful. David is referring to the inherited lot that he got as a Jew who had been given this lot under going back to the days of Joshua when it was portioned out to his ancestors. But God saw to it that David also enjoyed blessings in his lot. David, as you remember, was from Bethlehem. That was his hometown. And his father had sheep. He kept some sheep out in the fields besides Bethlehem. So, and David enjoyed a good blessing there, and a lot of blessings from the Lord in that inherited property. But he recognized that those blessings came from God. Now, David even praised the Lord for his counsel, even at night, when God admonished him in his, the word literally is kidneys. Now, kidneys was a figurative expression of the innermost aspects of one's personality. Why the Jewish people at the time, the ancient Jews, picked on the kidneys for that, we have no idea. Maybe because the kidneys play an important part in our lives and functions, but the kidneys referred to the very innermost part of a person's personality, his emotions, his mental makeup, his attitude, all of that. So even in the middle of the night, God was admonishing him. Now, sometimes you might have this experience. I know I've had this, where you wake up in the middle of the night and you come across, there's an issue that the Lord's been working on in your life, and he wants you to deal with it right then before you go back to sleep. So you deal with it and then go on. My call to the ministry came after I got into bed. I couldn't sleep. The Lord kept me awake. And there have been times when the insight that I had in Revelation 3, 14 to 22, that had to deal with our era and exactly what was involved. That came to me about 2 o'clock in the morning one time, and I sat straight up in bed. So the Lord can do this. And David was enjoying God giving him counsel even at night, and he was admonishing him, correcting him in the middle of the night. And so this is a signal that he was really fellowshipping with the Lord. David even praised the Lord for his counsel, and he blessed the Lord. So David had set the Lord before him as a source of blessing. And since the Lord was at his right hand of honor, David would never even be tottered. You have the same word, mut, that was used in Psalm 15 that we studied last Sunday. When his enemies would come against him, not only would he remain stable, you wouldn't even be able to totter him, wouldn't be able to make him shake. So he was rock solid in his stability because of all these blessings. Well, then David expressed confidence that God would rescue him from an untimely death. Based on the conditions that David had mentioned in Psalm 16, 1-8, the Hebrew word lakin is there, means based upon these things, his heart rejoiced in confident hope that his flesh would rest securely, because God would not abandon his soul to Sheol, that's namely the grave, or let David, who was his holy one, see decay in death in the grave. Instead, God would make known to David the path of physical life. And the word hayim here is the word that is used exclusively of physical life, not a spiritual life. And in fellowship with the Lord, where there was great joy and everlasting pleasure at his right hand of honor. I know we love to quote Psalm 16:11 for saying that in the presence of God in heaven there is great everlasting pleasures and there's great joy. That's true. But there's also great joy and everlasting pleasures in fellowship with the Lord on the earth if we fellowship with God. Now, we need to apply this psalm correctly in our current dispensation, so we have to make an adjustment. Remember, what's going on with David under the law is different from what goes on with us. There's a shift. David lived under the dispensation of the Mosaic law when God promised the people in Israel a long life if they obeyed that law. Exodus 20, verse 12 is very clear, especially with children. Children, honor your parents. That also means obeying them. But honor your mother and father that it may go well with you. That's a good life. And that you might have a long life on the earth which the Lord gives you. See, if a child does not respect the source of life that he has, the source of his life came through his parents, if he doesn't respect them, God says, oh, then you're not interested in living a long life. Your parents are your source of life. You need to respect them. If you don't, you're not going to live long. So the judgment of God is very fitting here. So it's very important for the Jewish people especially to obey the Lord in regards to honoring their parents. However, we now live in the dispensation of the church, according to Romans 6:14, where God does not promise long lives, but in principle, he does reward us with a longer life if we live righteously than were we to live in sin, as seen in the writings of Christ's apostles. It's interesting, in 1 Corinthians 11:27 to 30, Paul said a number of the people in the church at Corinth had actually died prematurely because they had partaken of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. They had done so without confessing their sins. This is why we always stop and have a time of self-examination before we partake of the Lord's table. It's because the Lord views the Lord's table very, very seriously because we're remembering Christ and his death for us. And that's very important to God the Father. So if we partake in an unworthy manner, we're actually risking our lives. Ephesians 6:1 to 3 talks about children obeying your parents, for this is the first commandment with promise. And the implication indicates that a child will live a longer life, much longer life if he's respecting his parents, even in the church age, than if he doesn't. And then 1 John 5:16 talks about the sin unto death. A believer can commit a sin where he actually lives an abbreviated lifespan, because God takes him home prematurely. So if we heed David's example in Psalm 16:1 to 11, God gives us the longest lifespan he wills that we have. Now you see, God may want a Christian to die a martyr's death, and that's not very long life, okay? But he may not. But there are various lifespans that he has set for us, and if we want to live the longest lifespan, what we need to do is do exactly what David did. Revere the Lord, look to the Lord as our soul God, look to him as our sole source of goodness, and follow him and obey him, and then he'll provide us that longest will that he has, that longest lifespan that he wills for us. So the lesson is that David viewed God as his master and his sole source of goodness. Consequently, he fellowshiped with the godly and not with idolaters who look to other sources for fulfillment. He experienced God's intimate guidance in life, and he enjoyed great stability. So David was assured that God would rescue him from an untimely death. Now, the first thing we need to do is to make a commitment to trust in Christ. I put down in the application section, may we trust in Christ who died as our atoning sacrifice for sin, that we might receive God's gift of eternal life. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17 that God commands people everywhere to repent, that is, to change their mind about Jesus Christ. It's a commandment. It's not an option. And God is commanding people throughout the world to believe in his Son. The Bible tells us that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Christ died on the cross in our place to bear the penalty of our sin and the punishment of that penalty on himself on the cross. He died, he was buried, he rose again. If we believe in him, God gives us eternal life. That's the first thing we need to do, to be pleasing with the Lord. Secondly, in applying Psalm 16 as believers in the dispensation of the church, may we view God as our master and our sole source of goodness, resulting in our having fellowship with the godly and not with those who view other entities besides God as their masters and sources of goodness, and are experiencing intimate guidance from the Lord and are enjoying great stability. These practices and resulting experiences will assure us that God will give us the longest lifespan that he wills that we have. Now, what I want to do is apply this sermon to the issues of concern that we mentioned in our sermon introduction. This is an interesting message this morning. It deals with death and deals with avoiding an untimely death. And my mother especially was very strong in this. She told me as I was growing up, son, you can have a choice. You can live a longer life or a shorter one. If you want to live a longer life, you better do what Dad and I say. And that got my attention. All right. So I'm just sharing with you what I got from Mom. Number one, regarding the Russian invasion of Ukraine, with the possible great loss of life and world economic chaos and heightened international tensions, viewing God as our master and sole source of goodness and life, we can rest assured that his prediction of Revelation 3:21 with chapter 7, verse 17, and I've mentioned this for several years, that we will face a many great tribulation marked by oppressive leaders and their intrigue will indeed be fulfilled. I believe we're seeing that right now. Putin is one of these rulers. It doesn't make sense what he's doing. There are other national rulers who wonder if he's, you know, if he's really dealing with reality, people who have talked with him. But nevertheless, it's going on. So God's purpose of allowing such an era to occur, to drive people to depart from relying on false idols for fulfillment and to turn to the God of Scripture for blessing, will be fulfilled. This is what God's doing. He's allowing it to get stirred up, and he's allowing incompetent leaders especially to come along, because what he wants to do is to get people to shift away from trusting in their leaders, to looking to their leaders for stability. We need to get back to God. God is our sole source of stability, our sole source of good, and we need to know that. So our duty is to follow God's leading through his word and keep trusting that he will provide all we need to fulfill his will for us while we serve him in discipling others for his coming kingdom. I put down Philippians 4:10-19 because the Apostle Paul, there he's writing from a jail, actually the prison in Rome, probably the maritime prison during his first imprisonment, and he was talking about how he knew how to handle being abased. He knew how to handle being blessed. He had received the gift from them at the time. It was very meaningful to him. And then he said, my God shall supply all your need, that's material need, through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So what we need to do is focus on the will of God. And what we need to do that will be provided for us. Regarding the possibility of another Sandy Hook Elementary School tragedy, David, in Psalm 37, verse 25, in the English Standard Version, wrote, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. Though David lived under the dispensation of the Mosaic Law, when God's promises for the righteous become general principles for believers in our current church era, we believers can see God provide for the livelihood and safety needs of our offspring, whether they're children or grandchildren, as long as they're our seed, if we, like David, view God as our sovereign master and sole source of goodness. The best thing that we can do for our children and grandchildren is to walk with God ourselves. Because what that does, that puts us in a position of blessing from the Lord. And that blessing has a tendency to spill over into our offspring. So it's very important. We need to watch our own walk. Now, if you're a boy or a girl, this is actually a repeat of the children's conversation. If you're a boy or girl who believes in Jesus as your Savior and you're in school, Jesus in Matthew 18:10 said that you have an angel who is accountable to God for your heavenly Father, from your heavenly Father, to guard you. So wherever you are, you could be in school, it could be on playground, it could be on the school bus, trust and obey God and pray for God's help if you need it. I would encourage that to my own children, let alone to anybody else's child. Regarding the possibility of the intoxicated hit-and-run driver who killed a person and who has not failed to stay sober and free from drugs whenever he has been released, that such a person might be released to kill again, our best action is to revere God as our master and our only source of good when we either walk along roadways or drive on them. I'm thinking of Interstate 84 with the drivers that go past you 15 miles an hour. May I recommend, use middle lane, not the left or the right. If you use an outside or an inside lane, you only have one option. You have, you know, either to the right or the left. But if you're in a middle lane, you can go either left or right. And that gives you, at least doubles your option and helps better protect and safety. But if you see one of these guys that's coming up behind you, the best thing to do is not change lanes. Try to stay right there. Let him go around you. Hopefully the state police will get on their case. But anyway, we can, viewing God as our master, we will obey him, and God directs to us to obey all traffic laws. 1 Peter 2:13 to 16 says, obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Traffic laws have been established to preserve life and property. So heeding God's will and walking along roads and driving in vehicles lawfully and carefully is useful to God in preserving us from dangerous drivers. It's the best thing we do. If we're not going to be careful for ourselves, all we're doing is doubling the risk. Regarding the discovery of skeletal remains in the Northfield Harwinton town line, Bridget Ruthman's story about the 19-year-old young woman whose remains were identified as Brianna Beam adds that she had been listed as missing more than once, that a previous missing persons report had been issued by police in East Providence, Rhode Island, after she had disappeared from a group home for 17 to 21-year-olds in October 2019. She later was found in Connecticut. So obviously this young woman had a troubled background and did not obey her overseers in repeatedly running away, leaving herself vulnerable to all sorts of trouble and harm. Had she trusted in Christ for salvation and looked to the God of Scripture as her sovereign master and the only source of good, she would have heeded her protective overseers and even experienced a happy, fulfilled life as opposed to her tragic end. All young adults, I don't care if it's young women or young men, just like everybody else, need to view God as their master and sole source of all that is good for blessing in avoiding an untimely death. My mother went to high school in downtown Chicago. That was rough. That was back in the 30s, okay? Very, very rough. And her foster parents who had taken her in prayed for her, and she had to walk to school. And mom shared with me an experience that she had the night before. A man had been murdered on a walk where she was at, and she actually had to walk around. There was still remnants of the crime left there, and it was traumatic. And she was just a teenager at the time, but she prayed, and she trusted the Lord, and the Lord provided for and protected for her. Now, I wouldn't recommend going to that kind of a school today. It's not better. If anything, it's worse. But it's very important for us to really walk with the Lord and to be wise and to be careful and to trust the Lord. The Lord will see to it that we live the lifespan that he wants us to live. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your care. And I thank you for the fact that you are a God who knows the end from the beginning. And this particular era was something that was not unknown to you. You actually referred to it in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, and with 7:17. And so we knew it was coming. And we know that there are many needs in the world. There is a lot of danger in the world. And yet we know that we have a God who looks out for his people. And he protects his people so that they can fulfill the assignments that he has for his people. We ask, Father, that we would indeed follow the example of David, making sure that we have no other God but you, and that we view you as the source of all the good that we have, that we don't put our security in anything else but you, and recognize that we need to keep in fellowship with the Lord so that we can live the lifespan that you have for us. I would also ask, Father, that if there's anyone who's listening this morning who as yet has not made the decision to trust in Jesus Christ as his or her Savior from sin, that they would make that decision, that they would believe in Jesus Christ, that they might have salvation from sin and hell and be given eternal life and be put into the much more care of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.